Now, if you're a newer believer or you have friends that are newer believers, it can also be a class where they actually kind of get rooted in their faith, because there'll be lots of different speakers. Like you've seen up there, there'll be scientists, there'll be musicians, there'll be people from all sorts of walks of life that are asking the tough questions and trying to come to, you know, a concrete place of faith. So what we're looking for, Tanya and I are looking to lead this. It's not a class, it's really an adventure. So it's not like a teacher-student, you know, type of thing where you sit and you listen to one person. It's really looking or watching DVDs and then everybody discussing what they thought, right? And really guiding discussion. So we're looking for at least four more people to actually come and help every night with the actual small groups, if you will. And then a couple, you know, as many people as we can, really, but a couple, two, three people that are dedicated to praying for that night also. So if you want to see Tanya or I afterwards, that would be great. And we'll have to have some team sessions, look at people's schedules. It's something that we hope to launch, you know, in the next couple of months. It might take some time to work out some logistics and schedules. But Tanya, do you have a few things to add?
You got it.
Okay, well, I guess that's it. So see either one of us to become a team member and support this. So then I do have one other thing that I asked Pastor Rick if I could mention. And next Sunday, probably, I would say before dinner, but late afternoon, I'm looking for people who want to pray for St. Croix County. What this will involve and look like is we'll take prayer points out and we'll, throughout this next week, come see me after church if you're interested in doing this. There's two different levels of participation. I'm looking for people who are willing to go next Sunday with people to go pray at the four corners for the county all at the same time. But I'm also looking for four corner leaders. So someone who's willing to go out to the corner this week and kind of find a place where we can kind of, you know, group together and pray for the county. Now, this is praying for the county, but this is also spiritual warfare. Now, if that word spiritual warfare is new to you and you don't quite understand what that means, this might not be for you. So if you think getting on Facebook saying things people don't like, well, stand up in the spiritual world and declare Christ over your county. It's a whole different level, okay? So I don't want to scare you. I just want you to be informed, okay? Thanks.
Amen. We are definitely in a spiritual battle. It's becoming more and more clear every day. Every time you look at the news. Children's Church can be dismissed at this time. If you got kids that want to go out and join the Children's Church, they're free to go at this time. I do have an outline for today. Hopefully you got one when you came in. If you didn't, maybe you could raise your hand if you'd like to receive one, and we'll see if we can try to get one to you. See one over here that needs an outline. One up front here. Keep your hands raised, and they'll get an outline for you. I want to continue on in our series that we've been going through, God's Recipe for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And I want to continue that theme on today and look at a passage in Daniel. So if you have your Bibles, if you would turn to Daniel chapter 6, I want to discover how Daniel had an anointing of what is called an excellent spirit. And I want to talk about that this morning, and I want to talk about what that means and what the characteristics are, the distinctions are of someone who has a spirit of excellence. So Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3 is going to be our main text, but I encourage you to keep your Bibles open to this because I'm going to be going through the rest of the chapter. I probably, for the sake of time, won't read the passage, but we'll discuss what's going on and what's taking place. And I encourage you to read this chapter later today, if you get the chance. Such an awesome story, very familiar to us, of Daniel in the lion's den, one of the greatest stories in the Bible. But hopefully As you read it later and be refreshed by the points of the message today, you'll be encouraged. So Daniel chapter 6 and verse 3 says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and officials because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm." God, I pray that as your word says, that when your word goes out, that it will not return void. And so I pray that as your word goes out this morning, Lord, to the people here, to my heart, to the people watching online, Lord, that you would send your Holy Spirit and that you would speak to them, that we would be encouraged, that we would be challenged, and that we would be drawn closer to you as we understand this principle of being filled with an excellent spirit. Apply your Holy Spirit to our lives, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, as we began this series, Dad mentioned that he believes that this message of the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers could very well be our last hope for our country. And I absolutely agree with that. Daniel was kind of the last hope for the country that he was in. They had gone through wars. Babylon had just fallen. The Medes and the Persian had taken over. They were a godless, ruthless nation. And here's Daniel, who seemingly stands there all by himself and makes a tremendous difference for the kingdom of God. And what we desperately need today is we need Daniels. We need Daniels and Danielles that'll stand up, that'll stand together and defend the word of God and fight for truth and make a difference in their communities, in their cities, in their schools, in our country, and hopefully the entire world. This very well may be our last chance. I hate to say it, but even if Donald Trump had gotten reelected, it would not have cured our country. I don't think that would have saved our nation, because we have a lot more problems than just electing a godly leader. It begins here. It begins with us. And God can do great things through people, and especially, as we're going to look at, through people who have a spirit of excellence. So I want to spend more time this morning looking at the characteristics and defining what it means, or what it looks like to have a spirit of excellence, rather than defining what it is. But let me briefly define it for you right now. To put it very simply, I don't know if this is working. Technical difficulties. I did turn it off and then on again, so we'll see if that works. Okay, maybe I was going the wrong way. Thank you. I need the spirit of excellence this morning. We're going to find that out. To have an excellent spirit is to be anointed with the Holy Spirit, especially in the areas of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and problem solving. We know this because if you back up a couple of verses, in Daniel chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, the queen comes into the king, and she's giving a description of Daniel to the king. We know the story, the handwriting on the wall. The king is scared. He doesn't know what it means. He calls all his magicians. None of them can tell him what it means. So the queen comes in, and she says, "You need to call Daniel." And this is how she describes Daniel. "There is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him, inasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting dreams and explanation of enigmas and solving of problems were found in Daniel." So the anointing of the Holy Spirit is to be anointed with the Holy Spirit. You could say that Daniel was spirit-filled. He was absolutely spirit-filled in all of those areas. But I want to spend more time looking at God's recipe for a spirit of excellence. First of all, a person of excellent spirit makes themselves invaluable by elevating themselves from the culture. A person of excellent spirit elevates themselves from the rest of the culture. Our text says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and officials because an excellent spirit was in him. What does it mean to prefer one thing over another? Usually, you think that means that you like something better than something else, right? I prefer eating pizza over squash. I'm not a fan of squash. Thank you for the amen. I'm not a fan of squash. I would much rather eat pizza. I would prefer to play backyard football than to knit a sweater. That's what I would rather do. And so that's what we think of when we hear the word prefer. But that is not what the word prefer is. It means in this passage. It literally translates to distinguish oneself. So when I first read this chapter, I thought what it was saying was that Darius liked Daniel more than the other guys, which is partially true. But the emphasis is that Daniel preferred himself. Daniel set himself apart from the other guys. He distinguished himself. And by doing so, he became more valuable to the king because of the wisdom and the character of God that was dwelling in him. I think it's best worded in the English Standard Version where it says, then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. The emphasis is not on Darius, but on Daniel. Daniel is the kind of guy that he's not concerned about fitting in with everyone else. A couple of weeks ago, Dad preached an excellent sermon on Daniel and the king's food. You remember that? That sermon where Daniel refused the king's food. And part of the reason was he did not want to assimilate himself into the Babylonian culture. He did not want to lose his godly identity and become associated with a pagan culture. His name, Daniel, means God is my judge. And he didn't want to take on a pagan name and lose his godly heritage. So he wasn't concerned about fitting in with the culture. He wasn't concerned about doing what the culture told him he should be doing. He wanted to make a difference for the kingdom of God. I absolutely love the queen's description of Daniel that I mentioned earlier in chapter 5. Listen to what she says. An excellent spirit was found in Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called. Isn't that awesome? She says, his name's Daniel. The king changed his name to Belteshazzar, but call Daniel. It's like Daniel said, nope, you're not changing my name. You're not changing my identity. My name was given to me by God. My identity was given to me by God. I don't care what the world calls me. I don't care what the world gives me. God calls me by my name. My identity is found in him, not in the culture, not in the world, and I am not going to conform. I'm not going to allow the world to define my identity. We desperately need this in Christians today. The church, I think, has spent too much time trying to identify with the culture and to fit in to the mold that is acceptable with the world. We've been trying so hard to fit in when we should be trying to distinguish ourselves and to be set apart and not to assimilate into it. Jesus told us in John 15:19, if you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, since I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. And the psalmist tells us that the Lord set apart the faithful for himself. Young people, listen to me. Don't concern yourself with always having to fit in, especially when it's your faith that is causing you to stand out. Someone once said, why fit in when you can stand out? And there is a lot of truth to that. We are not called to be the same. We are called to be different. And here's the important truth. When you are different, When you are distinguished, that is what makes you of more value. That's what brings greater value to your life. Daniel was elevated to a higher position because of his distinction from everyone else, not in spite of it. The things that makes coins and stamps, if you collect those things, what makes them of more value is the ones that are misprinted, because they're different than all the other ones. They're unlike any other coin or stamp. And by being different, they are rare. And things that are rare are of great value. So be valuable by being different. Distinguish yourself from the culture. Number two, a person of excellent spirit makes themselves irreplaceable by expanding responsibilities. I'm not going to take the time to read that, but like I mentioned, Babylon had fallen, King Belshazzar had died, and Nebuchadnezzar as well had died in battle. And so the Medes and the Persians come in, and they take over Babylon. And the new king, his name is Darius, and he's a Mede, and he restructures the government system. And he structures it so that there's 120 officials, and over them there's three presidents, and Daniel is the top president. And the king, Darius, is actually considering, I think, giving Daniel his position. He wants to put Daniel in charge of everything. It's possible that Darius wanted to go back home and leave Daniel in charge. You talk about a lot of responsibility. And sometimes responsibility can be a scary word. Have you ever taken on a responsibility that you felt was way too large for you? That you felt that you were way too under-equipped to take on? And maybe it caused you to be a little nervous. You know what? It's actually a good thing to be a little bit nervous when you take on responsibility, because it shows that you understand the importance of the task that you are taking on. Some people don't get nervous about their responsibility at all. And some people don't take the tasks that they've been given seriously enough. I'm going to show a couple of examples of this. For those of you who have OCD, I apologize in advance for some of these slides, because some people just do not take their job seriously enough. Here's one example. You're the best teacher ever. For some of you, maybe you don't. Spelling errors, I know, are a big pet peeve of mine. I see them online all the time. The your should have an apostrophe R-E in it. So thanking their teacher when they don't even know how to spell grammatically correct. How about this one? See anything wrong with this one? Shh, it's cool. How about this one? What's wrong with this picture? Don't try to use that one. How about this? Oh, whoever installed it. No thanks. I mean, some of these things, they can't be that hard to get right, right? How about this one? This one's a little bit harder to see. One single brick. Seriously, couldn't get that in the right place. How about this one? I'm sure this one was done on purpose. I think that wasn't done on purpose to prove a point. How about this one? This doesn't make sense either. Some people don't take their job seriously enough. But you know what? For a person of excellent spirit, when we're entrusted with responsibility, we take it seriously. And we do our best because we know that we are the image of Christ. And we need to be faithful in the things that God has entrusted to us. Jesus told us, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful, you've been responsible over a few things, and I will make you ruler over many things." Another important thing to understand about responsibility is that the more responsible that you prove to be, the more God entrusts you with. Just like this verse. If you're faithful over a few things, you can be entrusted with big things, with many things. A mother once told her teenage son that she wanted him to do some house cleaning. She specifically wanted him to wash the dishes and sweep and mop the floor. And later, when she came back in to check how he had done, she gasped in horror. The dishes were piled on the drying rack, but they still had chunks of food on them and stains on them. The floor looked like he had forgot to sweep first and just went straight to mopping. There were mud streaks all over, just smeared all over the floor. It was awful. It was the worst cleaning job she had ever seen. The little brother came to the teenage boy and he said, "Mom is not happy with you and how you cleaned." And with a big grin on his face, he said, "I know. I did that on purpose." And the little brother said, "What? Why?" And he said, "Because if I would have done a good job, she'd ask me to do it again sometime." Sadly, that's, I think, the attitude that a lot of people have when it comes to responsibility. We need to accept responsibility for the task that we are entrusted with and rely on the strength and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to help us accomplish those tasks, no matter how big or how small they may be. Number three, a person of excellent spirit makes themselves unbeatable by enduring opposition. Verse 4 in Daniel chapter 6, it says, "Then the presidents and officials sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion or fault because he was faithful." This is a very important lesson. Daniel's excellent spirit gained him favoritism with the king, but not with any of his peers. As a matter of fact, there were a lot more people that did not like Daniel than there were that did. We read on in verse 7, "All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the officials, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together." What did they consult together? Against Daniel. This was their plan to get rid of him. I want you to know today, this is the hard part of the message. If you are wanting to be a person of excellent spirit and to make a difference in this world for the kingdom of God, you're going to face opposition. And there may be times in your life where you feel like there are more against you than there are that are for you. And that might be the case. There might be times when you have to stand up alone. There might be times where you have to stand up and make a difference with no support around you. But this is what a person of excellent spirit does by the power of the Holy Spirit. Everyone was in on this conspiracy to get rid of Daniel. And if you're serving God, you're going to make enemies. If you're not making enemies right now, I kind of wonder what you're doing for the kingdom of God. It doesn't take much to offend people nowadays. Not much at all. And if you're going to stand up at all for the kingdom of God, you are going to make enemies and you are going to face opposition. A person of excellent spirit is unbeatable, though. And they endure the opposition by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're facing persecution this morning, can I just encourage you? Take heart in that. First of all, no, you are not alone. You might feel like you are. You might feel like you're taking stands by yourself, but you're not. You might be in that meeting all by yourself, standing up there all alone, but we're here with you. And I encourage you that there is a family, there is a body of Christ around the whole world. Even if they're not there in physical form with you, that they are definitely there in spirit with you. And most importantly, God is there with you. And His Holy Spirit is there with you as well. And also take courage that if you are facing opposition, then you must be doing something right. And that you've drawn the attention of the kingdom of Satan. And he's not happy with the progress that you're making for God. And he's going to resist that and he's going to fight against that. But don't give up. Don't give up. Endure. Keep on. Keep pressing on. Number four, a person of excellent spirit makes themselves undeniable by exemplifying consistency. That means they always give an example of being consistent. We read in verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had been doing previously." What this says is that Daniel was consistent. He did not change in the face of opposition. As a matter of fact, this is further emphasized twice, right before Daniel goes into the lion's den and right before he's brought out. When the king, Darius, says to Daniel, in both instances, as he's about to go into the lion's den, "Daniel, perhaps your God will save you. It's the only hope I have. I can't find any way out of this. Maybe your God will save you, the God whom you serve continually." And then later, when he goes to the den to see if Daniel's alive, he says, "Daniel, are you alive? Are you still there? Has your God been able to save you, the God whom you serve continually?" This tells me something that everybody noticed about Daniel. Daniel was faithful, and he was consistent in his walk with God. He could have gone into his room. He could have closed all the windows and doors. He could have went into his closet. He could have prayed in secret, and he probably could have gotten away with it. Who would have known if he was praying in secret? But that would not have been consistent with who he was. And it says that he prayed and gave thanks to God as he had been doing previously. He did not change who he was. He did not hide his relationship with God. He stayed consistent in his actions. We as a church have got to stay consistent in our faith. I think so many churches are filled with people that are so inconsistent. And this is really hard for other people when they view the life of a Christian and they see these inconsistencies. And they see people that come to church on Sunday and they get all on fire for God and they're perfect. And then they go out into the world and we see them through the rest of the week. And what they're living through the week does not match the person that we saw on Sunday. It's like a totally different person. We need to be consistent in our faith. A person of excellent spirit will always be consistent, even in the face of persecution. Lots of people do the right thing once in a while, but a person of excellent spirit stays consistent, continually doing the right thing. Then number five, a person of excellent spirit makes themselves unmovable by embracing their trials. They embrace their trials. Verse 10 says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed." Daniel knew the moment that decree was signed that he was a condemned man. He knew it. He was a convicted man. He had already purposed in his heart that he was not going to stop serving God, no matter what the legal punishments would be from the government. I think there's a very important lesson for us in there today. We have got to purpose in our hearts that we're going to stay true to the Word of God, that we are not going to change our faith, that we're not going to change our values, that we're not just going to lay down our religious freedoms based on some law that the government might put into action. We must purpose that we will not ever give up those God-given rights, no matter what the repercussions might be. And I hope not, but we maybe need to be prepared to face the legal actions that will come against us if that were to happen. And I want to point out that Daniel embraces this trial, right? He doesn't fight against it. Well, there's not anything mentioned that he even says after this decree is given. We don't even hear anything about a rebuttal from him. No defense statement is given. It's just silence. And to me, that says that Daniel is accepting of this trial. I'm not going to stop praying to God. So if I have to be thrown into a den of lions, then I have to be thrown into a den of lions. That's what's going to have to happen. He accepts his trial. And I think that often when we are mistreated, when we face difficulties, persecution, especially when it's things that we don't deserve, we have a tendency to complain. And we have a tendency to get upset. We have a tendency to complain to God. And here's Daniel, just this beautiful example of embracing his trial. There were two guys that were lifelong friends. One of them was a king, and his best friend, was known for always having a very positive attitude towards life, no matter what happened. He was known for always saying, "It's not that bad." That was kind of his statement. "It's not that bad." Well, both the king and his best friend, they loved to hunt. And one day, the king asked his best friend if he would clean his musket for him so they could go hunting the next day. And the friend did so, but in cleaning the musket, he accidentally forgot an object lodged down inside the barrel of the musket. The next day, they're out hunting, and the king sees this big deer, brings his musket up, pulls the trigger, and it backfires with such force that it blew off his thumb and part of his hand. The king was furious, and his friend said, "It's okay. It's not that bad." "What do you mean it's not that bad?" the king hollered. "It's not your thumb that got blown off. It was mine." He was so angry that he had his friend thrown into prison for several years. Several years later, the king is out on a hunting expedition in a different country. It happened that while he was there, that he was kidnapped by a tribe of cannibals. As they were preparing to eat him, one of them noticed that he was missing his thumb and part of his hand. Now, this tribe of cannibals happened to be very superstitious, and they wouldn't eat anything that wasn't whole and complete because they thought it was cursed in some way, and it would bring bad luck on them. So when they saw that he was missing his thumb, they let him go. When the king got back home, he thought about how his missing thumb had saved his life. And he remembered his friend and the words that he had last said to him all those years ago, "It's not that bad." And he thought to himself, "My friend was right. It ended up saving my life." He went to the prison. He had his friend released. He told him the whole story of what had happened, how his missing thumb had saved his life. And he said to his friend, "I'm so sorry that I got so angry with you. I'm so sorry I sentenced you to prison for all of these years." And what do you think his friend said? "It's okay. It's not that bad." "What do you mean it wasn't that bad?" the king said. "We haven't seen each other for several years. We used to spend every day together. We used to do so much together. We used to go out hunting together. Think of all that we missed out on." And his friend replied, "Exactly. If I wasn't in prison, I would have been with you." And he had all his digits. So a person of excellent spirit, they've got a positive attitude, even when going through trials. James tells us in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, "My brothers, count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of trials and temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith develops patience." I know this is a very hard lesson. I wish we could spend more time on this alone. But responding to our trials with joy, there is power in joy. There is great power in joy. The Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when you face trials and you are able to stand up to them with joy in your heart, the tremendous difference that it makes. A person of excellent spirit is unmovable by embracing their trials. And then lastly this morning, Number six, a person of excellent spirit makes themselves unconquerable by exalting God through their victories. They exalt God through their victories. We skip down to verses 21 and 22. King Darius comes to the den. He cries out to Daniel, "Are you still there? Are you still alive, Daniel? Has your God been able to save you?" He's crying, so he doesn't really think so. And then Daniel's voice comes up out of the den. He gives a greeting to the king. He says, "O king, live forever." This was the standard greeting. And then the very first words out of his mouth after greeting the king, my God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouths so that they have not hurt me." The very first words, Daniel finally speaks after being condemned, after standing on trial, after being sentenced to go to the lion's den. Without uttering a word, he finally speaks in his first words, "Glory to God. Glory to God. He has saved me from the lions, and they have not hurt me." There is great power in the life of a believer that gives credit to God and glory to God. It amazes me how we have a tendency to kind of blame God for all the things that go wrong in our life and get upset with Him when things are bad. And then, when we have great victories and accomplishments, we take all the credit and we make it all about us. But a person of excellent spirit is always going to give the glory to God and exalt God through it all. I haven't been into sports much as of lately with all the politics that are in it. I really haven't watched much. I used to be really, really into football. And to me, one of the most incredible things that I've witnessed was the Super Bowl 3 years ago in 2018. The Philadelphia Eagles survived against all odds to go through the playoffs and to defeat the New England Patriots, in spite of their star starting quarterback, Carson Wentz, potential MVP of the year. He went down late in the season with a knee injury, and everybody thought the Eagles' season was over. There was no way they were going to win without Carson Wentz. Week after week, all the specialists, all the panelists, they picked the Eagles to lose. And week after week, backup quarterback Nick Foles would go into the game, get them down by like 20-some points, and then somehow, miraculously, they would come back and win. They won every game that way through the playoffs and made it to the Super Bowl. And then they're in the Super Bowl, and all the specialists say there's no way. They're not going to be able to beat the veteran Tom Brady and the dynasty team, the New England Patriots. But the Eagles didn't listen to any of that. They went out there and they won the biggest game of their lives. But that's not what's impressive to me. The thing that most amazed me about this Super Bowl was after the game. After the game, they're interviewing the players and the coaches live. This interview takes place on the field in front of 80,000 fans, plus the millions of people watching on TV. And the first person they interviewed is Coach Doug Peterson. And the interviewer asked him this: "How do you explain this, that 9 years ago you're coaching high school, and here you are with this trophy?" Doug replied with this statement on live TV: "I can only give the praise to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for giving me this opportunity. And I'm going to tell you something, I've got the best players in the world." Next, they interviewed the tight end, Zach Ertz, who had caught the game-winning touchdown. The interviewer asked him, "Zach, what was that feeling like? You're in the huddle, you hear the play that's called, you know the ball's coming to you. What were you thinking?" And this was his reply: "Glory to God first and foremost. We wouldn't be here without him." Next, they brought in backup quarterback and the Super Bowl MVP, Nick Foles. And the interviewer said, "Just another game, right, Nick?" And he replied, "Yeah, just another game. Unbelievable. All glory to God." I sat there in awe that they weren't turning the broadcast off, because over and over, the coach, the players, every one of them, they were talking about all glory to God, praise to God for this accomplishment. And I want you to know that they weren't just saying it, they believed it. There's a lot of times players, you know, after the game, you know, praise God, and then they go on exalting themselves, but not these guys. Nick Foles is actually a pastor. He has got his pastor's license. He feels called into full-time ministry. Carson Wentz describes on live TV how he had his life changed on a missions trip. And he said, I was sitting there, and I was looking at the people around me, and he thought, how is it that I can spend all this money and fly all the way around the world to tell these people about Jesus when I can't tell the guy next to me in my locker? And so he said, I decided to make my locker room my mission field. And he began to preach. And through the ministry of those two guys, so many teammates were getting saved during this time that when they were staying at hotels during the playoffs, so many teammates were getting saved. They wanted to be baptized. They were baptizing them in the pools of the hotels they were staying in. It's an incredible story. And as a result, revival was going through Philadelphia like crazy. I actually got an email during this time talking about an Assembly of God church in Philadelphia that didn't know what to do because their church had grown from 400 to over 4,000 people during this time. It might seem like something so simple, just giving praise to God, giving God the credit. But let me tell you something, you don't know the power of your influence. You have no idea the life that you're going to impact when you say that too. It might not be as big as this, but even if your testimony changes one soul for the kingdom of God, what a tremendous victory. That's worth more than any Super Bowl trophy. Through Daniel, he gives the credit to God. After that, King Darius writes a letter to his whole kingdom, not just Babylon. The whole kingdom hears about Daniel. He tells them the story of Daniel and how God saved him, and there's only one God, and his kingdom will last forever. His kingdom will never be overthrown, which is a tremendous prophecy coming from someone that's not even really a believer at that time. But he had enough insight to know that Daniel's God is so special that he's got a kingdom that will live forever and ever and will never be overthrown. And because of that, think about the impact in a whole entire nation that Daniel had simply because he was a person of excellent spirit. We desperately need people like this today. If we're going to make a difference in our communities, if we're going to make a difference in our schools, in politics, this is where it's got to begin. It's got to begin with us. And obtaining this excellent spirit and letting the Holy Spirit of God move in us and through us, making a difference. So the question is, how? How can I be like Daniel? Well, it's really simple. You just ask. James 1:5 tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Because God gives to all men liberally and without criticism. I know there are some of you here that are thinking to yourself right now, this is a great message, but that's for the elite Christians, and that's not for me. You know, that's for the important people like Daniel, but this isn't for me. I'm not that great of a person. I am not that qualified. Let me tell you right now, get that thinking out of your mind. Because God gives to all men, not just the elite. He gives to all men liberally and without criticism. He's not sitting here judging you. You are. And Satan is. And he wants you to think that you're not good enough to be used by God. When God says, if you ask me, I will give my wisdom to you. I will pour out my Holy Spirit upon you. I will fill you with the spirit of excellence in all areas of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, problem solving. You will be able to go out and make a difference in your community. You will be able to go out and make a difference in the world around you. You just got to ask. You just got to ask. So do you want to be a person of excellent spirit? I know I do. Just ask. Could I have you bow your heads and close your eyes? I hope that at some point of the message, one of these points hit home to you. And maybe the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart and revealed some things to you. An area, one of these areas that maybe you can work on and improve a little bit this morning. Maybe some of you have been a little too concerned about fitting in with the culture and not distinguishing yourself apart from it. Maybe some of you have not risen up to the challenge of taking on the responsibilities that God has entrusted you with and placed upon you. Maybe you've been shrinking away from some of the responsibilities that you know God is calling you to do. Maybe some of you have been more prone to run away from problems rather than to stand up and embrace them and to take them and challenge them head on with the help of God. Maybe some of you have not been very consistent in your example, in your faith, living differently on Sunday than you do the rest of the week. Maybe some of you have not been so great at giving God credit and glory for the victories in your life, and you're pretty quick to take those credits for yourself. Maybe God is speaking to your heart this morning about one of these areas, or maybe more. And if that's the case, would you just bring that before the Lord right now? Say, God, I'm sorry for these areas that I fall short. Because it is my desire to be a Daniel. It is my desire to make a difference in the world. And I purpose to do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. And if you're here this morning and you say, this is something that I want for myself, I want to be known as a person that has a spirit of excellence. And right now, would you just pray and ask and say, God, you say in your word that if we ask, you'll give this spirit of wisdom. And so, Heavenly Father, I ask for that right now. And I open myself up to be a vessel used by you. Come and fill me with your spirit of excellence so that I can be a Daniel, so that I can make a difference in the world. If you are committing that and praying that right now, would you do something really bold? Would you stand? Would you stand right now? There's an old song that I love that says, dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. And if you can't stand in a church service surrounded by people of the same thought, you'll never be able to stand by yourself out in the world. But look around. This is where it needs to begin. This is what we need. People like you that are committed to having a spirit of excellence. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for this message that has meant so much to me and has challenged my heart day after day. And Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for this body of Christ, the people that are here, that are watching online, Lord, that are hearing your word and are taking the stand. Lord, I pray that as we open ourselves to receive from you, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be poured out. Lord, I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on this church in a new and fresh way, like never before. I specifically ask that you would pour out your spirit of excellence upon every person that is here today. Lord, that they would be filled in all these areas that we've talked about this morning and filled with excellent wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Lord, that every one of these people would be able to go out and make a difference in their communities and in their relationships with the people that you've placed into their lives. And as a result, it would spread from here, it would go to the next town, and the next town, that we would reach the state of Wisconsin for you, that we would reach the United States of America for you, and that we would reach the entire world for you, for your kingdom. Lord, it begins here. It begins with us. Lord, we are open, we are willing, we are receiving of your Holy Spirit this morning. We thank you. We praise you. May your power go with us as we leave this place. In Jesus' mighty, precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated for a moment. At this time, our board member, James Stauffer, would like to come and share something with you briefly.
So this week is a very monumental week. On the 28th, so what is that, Wednesday, will be 30 years that Pastor and Debbie have been serving at Wilson. And we really want to recognize for them for that. We thank you for your service and, more importantly, for you being a willing vessel for God working through you for these 30 years and years before that. I remember when you came, would you have four kids here? I remember three little kids and I think one baby at home coming over to the church when I first saw them. And a lot has changed since then. More than that is the number of grandkids you have now. So we have cake out in the multi-purpose room. And we are also going to send Pastor and Debbie on a very nice trip, give them a nice vacation for them to relax and recuperate, because there's a lot of more that we expect from you. Thank you. So since I'm the last one up here, I guess I'll pray for the meal. Dear God, we thank you for this opportunity to be together in your house, and we ask that you would put a blessing on this food that we are partake of and bring us back in to go over the business you have for us at the church. We ask that you would especially bless Pastor and Debbie all the time, but especially this week when we remember them for 30 years here. In Jesus' name, amen.